I have a friend, fellow preacher, Marvin Phillips, has written several books. One of those he's entitled, you know, sometimes if you want to write a book, you need a catchy title. And I don't know why, but in some of these, Marvin wrote one, Don't Ever Lick a Moving Blender, which would make sense. Another one he's written, it says, You cannot or you can't fly to heaven in a straight line. And that's true. We have to continuously make adjustments, as it is with airplane. If an aircraft takes off from one point going to another point, they will constantly make adjustments en route because of the winds, what they call prevailing winds. But you can't just take off and head straight there and expect to get there. You're going to have to make adjustments. You're going to make some turns as far as that goes. Because of this, I counted this morning as I came here from the time we backed out of the garage until I was actually in the parking lot, I made 13 different turns getting here to the building. I imagine all of you at one point or another obviously make a turn, if nothing else, just pulling in the parking lot. We make adjustments to get to where we're going, and we have to do that in our spiritual life as well. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus himself is speaking, and that in itself should give us advice or warning that we need to know of what he has said. He said, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to all creation or to all creatures. He that believes and is baptized be saved, and he that believes not will be condemned or be damned. Today in our society, we don't hear a lot much anymore about hell. I'm convinced that in years past, most people who got baptized because of the fear of hell, much more in relationship to the love and the promise of heaven. A lot of people, particularly younger people in years past, were baptized because they was afraid of going to hell. And that is as it should be. I don't want to go there. But then there comes a transition where we go from the fear of hell to the love or the desire to go to heaven. And that is, of course, also as it should be. And with that said, there are times when Jesus said, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I wanted to mention this morning what we call sometimes methodology. The method that we use to do what Jesus said to do. How do we do that? When Jesus said, Go into all the world and preach the gospel, he did not say how to go. He did not say where specifically to go. He did not say how to preach the gospel. If we go back in history, we'll realize and understand that the teachers or the preachers at that time would sit down and the audience stood up. I like that. I wouldn't enjoy that, I think. But by the same token, how long would they stand? We read in Acts also where Paul preached a long time, all night, so to speak. And we look at that in Acts 20, we find that they came together to break bread, and Paul preached to them and continued preaching to them until one guy falls out of the window, goes to sleep. I've had people go to sleep sitting in a pew. But by the same token, the methodology or the reason or the way we do it is different today than it was done then. I'm not saying that either one of them is right or wrong. I'm just saying that we have to adjust our method based upon society, what they or society will accept. It changes. Everything changes. Now, because Jesus says go do it, he did not say where to go. He said go in all the world. Well, does that mean then that every person in this room today has an obligation to go to every country in the world to preach the gospel? It can't be done, and we know that. Now, we do know that people who are grabbed or feel compelled to be a missionary will, first of all, they decide they want to be a missionary, and they'll select a country that they want to go to preach. I know every year when we go to Tulsa to the workshop, on Friday evening they have the parade of the kids who are going into all the world to preach the gospel. And as they come out, they will announce their names and what country they're going to go to. And sometimes it's so impressive to see all these young kids, and sometimes older, come out, and they'll be carrying the flag of the country they're going to be in. And just one after another, after another, after another, they'll come out and line up, and there's all these flags of all these countries that these kids are getting ready to go to preach the gospel to that country. Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Well, how are we going to do that? There are some times that we can't go ourselves for whatever reason, financial, physical, whatever the reason might be, but we can support people who do go into the world and preach the gospel. So in essence, in one respect, we are helping them do that if we are supporting them financially. With that said, there are some preachers in the world who I think are fantastic speakers. There are some people in the world who are fantastic authors. They can write a book, and I can just, I can't put it down until I'm through reading it. I know of an author where I can pick his book up, and I'm hung with it until I'm finished. But yet, by the same token, in my evaluation, that particular author, he can just write things down and just make you hunger for what he has to say. But yet, I've heard him preach, and I personally wouldn't walk across the street to hear him preach. Oh, he's dry and monotone and just says, lays out the flat. But yeah, in his books, he has a technique, a talent that just makes it come alive. So some people have possibilities of talents and do it in one way, some another. So I want to share that with you. Last week, I asked you to fill out some forms, some suggestions on what we could do in this congregation to fulfill and to do what Jesus said to do. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to all the people. The suggestions that you turned in, I want us to look at today and see how it helps us and what some of the things we couldn't be doing, and then I'll be telling you what to do after that. Here is one suggestion that was put in. Suggestion number one is have the information booth at the entrance to greet visitors. A Saturday workshop to help us equip to become, how to train, help us become knowledgeable, for us to learn how to do these things. There's some information on the next slide I'll show you about people who conduct a workshop that will come in and actually train us on how to present the gospel to people. When I went in the military, went through the basic training, a boot camp, and when they got out of that, they said, all right, Ralph, what you're going to be doing is working on helicopters. That's going to be your life while you're in the military. But what did the Air Force do? They sent me to school on what? On helicopters, of course. I didn't know anything about helicopters. But when I got out of that school, I did. And this is a technique that's possible for us to learn, to have people come in to train us on how to do this. A giveaway. Years ago, it says similar to what Northside had. Years ago, Northside had a deal where they had clothing, they had sacks of goods and everything, and the neighborhood just came in and helped themselves. And that's one suggestion that's given up here. Food pantry. Make things that would be of interest. Another thing, this is the thing about the excitement of having people come in. Their talent, if you please, is coming into a congregation and teaching us how to teach others. Okay? Normal procedure. Some of these others I had to change. One is a prayer chain. That's a great idea. Another one is life groups, if you want to explore that. Special time for the family to get together for fun. Have a neighbor day type potluck and invite the neighborhood around the church. Have a harvest party. Teach classes on Saturday. It's talking about Saturday classes, arts and crafts, and some of that nature. Some of these I had to go over. You need to know that if it's a regular wooden number two pencil, it won't show up on this. I had to trace over some of them. But I think we need to have congregational meetings once a month to get people together to help with the church. Get together, clothing donation. Here again, you got kind of a repeat. And these are the handwritten thing that people can turn in. Have more get-together to visit his family. Princess Pine, that's another prospect. And here is one, it says, I got it. Ideas for church growth at Colbert. Create a building fund, set aside a fund, collected for the church activities, for the youth group. And instead of potlucks on the first Sunday of every month, have a dinner for the homeless. It says Jesus fed the poor, etc. We bring food, clothing, make baskets before for the people. Encourage the world about Jesus and the church. Put an advertisement, good news in the newspaper, at least one Sunday every month. And there's all kinds of suggestions here. And another one is good, said we need to have the signboards say something, but it needs to be bigger with bigger letters. That's the board out here in the front. Same thing said again, the reader board needs to be bigger. Use the media, gospel singing, invite the public. And then another one, I think, it says Sunday night or all-day services, singing, praying, etc. A family body more time. We need to start early in classes if we need to. And that one, door hangers, bulletins in the vestibule and document. And another one that's very, very important, it says, you know, we hear in real estate a lot, location, location, location. It advertises, advertises, advertises. It talks about advertising, and it goes on and talks about the bulletin, newspaper, short and to the point, want to hear the gospel as Jesus preached it. Now, I took all of these, trying to keep in mind what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. How does that apply to the church here? Now, I could pull out, and I debated doing this, but I said, no, I'm not going to jump from one scripture to another, to another, to another. I want to keep that one root scripture embedded in our mind today. Mark 16. Go ye. Ivan Sturt had a book out, some of you are familiar with it. I know go ye means go me. He has another book out now, a current book. Now he wrote, he's over 80 years old. It's a good book to read. Ruth shared it with me. There are times you say, I can't do door knocking. You don't have to. There's so many avenues that's open to us, and some of these have the handouts rather than the big folders that we do have, to have something simplified that we can leave in the doctor's office, as I've said before, that we can leave no matter where we go. Where we can put it on the bulletin board. I don't know how many of you use a washateria or a laundromat in town, but if you've ever seen the bulletin boards, and they have them in Safeway, they have them in Albertsons, they have bulletin boards in a lot of stores. It doesn't cost anything, if we will, to put up advertisements, and it's profitable to all of us. What I want to ask you to do is I tried to condense these. How are we going to go into all the world and preach the gospel? This is some suggestions that you turned in. So let's try to define these and refine these and put them down where they're being beneficial. So what I've done, I've taken these and tried to refine them and put them down in what you said, those of you who turned these in. Advertise, newspaper, Nickelodeon, door hangers, etc. And it goes all through. Have a giveaway day, prayer chain, life groups, harvest party, etc., etc. And then on the back side of this, I've got some other things listed and left a couple of blanks. And what you're going to be able to do this morning, I did not want to hand this out to you while I'm talking, because if I did, you'd be reading it instead of listening. I know human nature. But as you leave back by the door, you're going to find these sitting back there. What I want to ask you to do is get one. You can mark it today if you want to, or take it home and mark it. I'm asking you to get this back to me not later than Friday of this week. You can do it today. You can get it to me Wednesday night. You can take it home and mail it to me if you want to spend 39 cents. Whatever you want to do, you can email it and scan it and say, I don't care. Need it back by Friday so I can compose these and get back to you. And what I want to ask you to do when I say mark them, don't you look at every one of these. And you take the one that you think has got the most priority, the one that we can do the better job of what Jesus said to do. Go and preach and teach. Whatever you think is the one most important one of these. If you don't see any you like, write it in on number 1920 or make your own 21, whatever you want to do. If you don't see anything in here that you think is important enough, write it in on the next blank lines. But number one, what you think there. Number two, I want you to go through five items. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't put number 6 down, okay? 1 through 5. Get them back to me. And then we can analyze these, refine them, get them summarized, and get them back to you so that this church can have a focus. so that we can all be pointing in the right or same direction. You ever see a column of ants working together? They have one purpose in mind. And they might be scattering and going between each other. And it's so amazing to see 4,932 going this way and about that many going the opposite direction. They don't run over each other, but they get the job done. But they have one objective in mind. And I want to suggest that we need the same thing. We need an objective in mind so that we can do exactly what Jesus said to do. Once this is accomplished, as Bill taught this morning, our elders have a responsibility. Deacons, when installed, which I understand is going to be 2 weeks from today, deacons will have a responsibility. If we will support the eldership, and the deacons will support the eldership, which they will, then we can move this church. The key and the desire is not just numbers. The desire is souls. Some of you may recall that years ago, and been in helicopters, been in rescue, we were very familiar with it. SOS. SOS. And they would send it out on the graph. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Over and over and over. SOS. Save our souls. Is what that meant. Save our souls. And I find it so ironic, we hear terminology and abbreviations today, and a abbreviation that is and was in use and still in use today with the Coast Guard is da-da-da-da, S-O-S, and they will come back with the abbreviation of S-O-B, souls on board. And if an aircraft is going down or a ship is going down, they come back with the signal or maybe by radio. There are 42 SOBs. And we know sometimes there's another term for that. 42 souls on board. That's how many people they need to look for. How many souls do we have on board now? Well, we got what's in this church family here. How many souls do we need on board? Everyone in this county. When Jenny and I went to Germany, went over for the interview. It was between myself and another guy. And they asked you all kind of questions, as you can imagine, and when you've been interviewed for a preaching job. And one of the questions they asked me, at that time, there was a growth within a church group that was sponsoring a new style of preaching, a new approach from within the Church of Christ itself. And they asked me, said, Ralph, what are you going to do if that group comes to town? How are you going to handle them? And I said, my approach is very simple. They're not here now. I'm not going to worry about them until everybody in the city of Wiesbaden, Germany, is a Christian. I've got other things to do besides worry about what if another group might come to town and might start preaching. You say, well, we don't do it very well. And we don't. We hear about the Red Cross. We hear about United Fund. We hear about Mother Teresa. We hear about all these people who do good things. And we say, well, that's not good. They're not church members. And I have to tell you, I like the way they're doing it better than the way we're not doing it. So when we are serious about what Jesus said to do, about taking the message, taking the gospel to the lost of the world, Jesus said himself, I came to seek and save who? The lost. And the parable of 99 left on the mountainside, left in the wilderness. Don't you find it ironic and interesting that when the parable of one sheep was lost, missing, that the 99 was left to go find the one. But I find it so interesting that 99 was left at risk in the wilderness to fend for themselves. You say, well, that's not very bright, perhaps. Why take the chance of losing 99 and going after just one? The odds on that is, you know, it's out of proportion. But the point, of course, being in the parable that Jesus talked about, that one is important. If you don't think it is, what about your spouse if they're not a Christian? What about your parent? What about your siblings? What about your close friends? They're important. The person that we meet in the grocery store that we don't know, we don't think too much about them, I'm persuaded, about whether or not they're Christians. If we could just get the message across, folks, our job is not to convert them. Our job is to present the gospel to them. Then they have the duty and the responsibility and the decision to make whether or not they want to be a Christian. But our responsibility is to let them know about Jesus anyway, and to present it and give it to them, whoever they might be, until they are to the point where they make a decision, I want nothing else to do with you. Or they say, I want to be a Christian. And I, as much as I've shared it with you before, I cannot help but go back to one time in Missouri that Bob and I, or another a Christian, went to see a man. And we were just talking and talking and talking about how we're going to do this. And Bob and I decided, and Ralph, he said, Ralph, you take the lead on this one. And we met Charlie after work. And I told you this before, but it's so impactful to me. We went into the service station where he worked, to the restaurant next door, and sat down. And I said, Charlie, he's been coming to services every day with his wife and kids, I mean every week. Why aren't you a Christian? And his response floored me. He said, no one's ever asked me. He's saying, my. He knew. I know he knew. He sat through too many sermons. He sat through too many Bible classes. He knew. But no one had ever asked him. You think, well, and my mind from that goes to a case where we was attending church one time. Had a pretty large lawn to mow. And one of the members lived directly across the street from the church building. And people would put ads in the paper wanting someone to come mow this yard or this grass at the church. And someone finally asked a guy named Jim Cantrell. Said, Jim, why don't you, you're right here across the street. Why don't you mow the grass? He said, nobody ever asked me. Now, everybody could see that it needed mowing. Jim could see that it needed to be mowed. But nobody asked him. There's a song, I don't think it's in the current book that we use, but you never mention him to me. You never mention him to me. And you go on and on and on and think about it. If we're at the day of judgment, and we're going to be there, and Christ is going to open the book. But can you visualize as this song goes on and says and implies that there's someone standing there, maybe your neighbor, maybe a co-worker, and for the first time, they know what's happening. And they look you in the eye and say, you never mentioned him to me. You never told me about this guy, Jesus. Well, I thought you knew. If it's your loved one, a spouse, sibling, etc., parents, whatever, children, please remember what Jesus had to say. Please make up your mind today that you are going to fill these things out. Get something in motion where we can do what Jesus said to do. Seek and save the lost. Now, we can do it so many different ways. Methodology is one thing. Jesus didn't say exactly how. Thankfully, he didn't say how long church services should last. He didn't say, I want you to meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday. All of that he left up to us. Common sense he gave some of you. But with that said, with that said, if we will apply the sense, common sense we have, apply the intelligence that you have, I'm telling you, we can compound and compose all this, and this church can do what Jesus said to do, is to put the gospel in everybody's mind or in everybody's reach. The good thing about being a Christian, that when we stumble, when we make a mistake, God stands ready to forgive us. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is say, sincerely, I'm sorry. I repent. I want to change my way. Same way if you're not a Christian, you want to be a Christian. I want to be. And the door is open. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that a bunch of us Gentiles have got the gospel instead of just the Jews? I'm thankful for that. And I say it in a just a tactful way as I can, as lovingly as I can. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for you so that we could have the hope of eternal life? If you have a need that this church can help you with, let it be known. Let's stand together and sing.